Blog Talk Radio.
Global Village Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Tonight, Dr. Douglas and his guests explore how spreading inspiration, resilience, and the power of hope will inspire incredible capacity in the human spirit to overcome adversity, navigate challenges, and find strength in the face of even the most daunting circumstances. Join us while we recount captivating stories of individuals who have triumphed over unimaginable trials, shining a light on their journeys and the pivotal role that hope played in their resilience. Through tonight's thought-provoking discussions, we aim to ignite the flame of hope within you, our listeners, and remind you of the unwavering human potential. Now, here's our host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back here, sitting in the big chair, broadcasting out to the world. We have a very interesting topic tonight, and joining me in the broadcast is my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, who has been here for a ton of years, and our producer, Paul Hughes, who has masterfully sculpted the show to be what it is today. We hope that you'll participate with us today as we investigate this all inclusive phenomena that seems to be something that everyone in the world does when times are difficult, and also when they look forward in their life and they wish their life to be successful and better. We're going to discuss a little bit about what hope is, but the one thing in the lesson tonight is that anyone and everyone can endure just about anything if they have hope. And tonight, my friend and producer, Paul, and co-host Doug Bentley are going to talk a little bit about this. We want your participation. Call in at 718-766-4421. There's been something out there in the ethers tonight. Something's going forward, backwards, sideways, or spinning around. And if you've been tired or if you had a couple of sleepless nights, there is something in the ethers, the stars, the galaxy that is affecting us all. Certainly the news is filled with some difficulties and problems that are related to this conflict that's going on around our world. And we're hoping that tonight we can get a handle on it a little bit and help each other to survive this time. The power of hope will inspire incredible things to happen. It's the capacity in the human spirit to overcome adversity, negativity, and meet challenges and find strength in the face of even the most daunting circumstances. Think about that, my friends. When you're in difficulty, where you're in trouble, you hope someone, something will come by, will save you, will guide you, will protect you. We all are like little children in those times of despair. And what we look for in this the spiritual world is the divining grace of God Almighty, the angels, those special beings that we pray to or expect to show up in our life, our guardian angels, if you will, or some other being in the invisible dimensions we call the heavens or the astral plane or the dimensions just above us. We look for divine intervention. We pray for divine intervention. And you know what? It happens. It happens. And when it happens, remember that it happened. Don't forget. Don't let it be idle. Remember that when you prayed and you were hoping that something would come and save you, and it came true, that was the answer to your prayer. Always, always, always be grateful for that. Tonight, we're going to talk a little more about how we get over those unimaginable trials and put a shining light on our journey and take that pivotal role that helps put us in a state of resilience. Through provocative discussions, we aim to ignite the flame of hope with you, our listeners, and remind you of your own unwavering potential. You have hope inside of you. We're going to talk a little bit about the key aspects of hope in a moment, but we want you to call in and tell us your stories, perhaps share what's happened to you in times of despair. Welcome to the show, Doug. It's good to have you back with us. How are you doing right now?
Thank you very
much. Are
you
looking forward to tonight's topic?
Mm-hmm. It's always a pleasure.
Good to have you here, Doug.
It's always a challenge, too, sometimes.
That's true. That's true. That's what we... that's what life is all about that makes it interesting. Paul's going to chime in tonight as our producer. Welcome to the show, Paul. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Douglas. Really good to be back.
I see we have a couple of callers already in the queue. The number to call in, my friends, is 718-766-4421. You know, hope is a powerful and positive emotion. Think about that, my friends. It's an emotion. It's deeply rooted belief that things can get better or improve despite challenges, setbacks, or difficult circumstances that you might find yourself in. Hope is an optimistic outlook that looks beyond the present, way beyond the present sometimes, the present circumstances, and focuses on the possibility of a better future. That, in essence, is what hope is. For us, trying to define what hope is, and we all have our interpretation of it, we're going to try to define it a little bit tonight. And the number to call in is 718-766-4421, and let us talk about your stories, and let us give you some hope. If you have a question or so about your future, I'm here to give you some hope tonight and maybe give a little glimpse in, as to the possible outcome. You know, one of the key aspects of hope includes positive expectation. Positive expectation. Hope involves the positive expectation that things will work out or improve in some way. It is the belief that there are possibilities, solutions, or opportunities for growth or change. Something is going to be better. It's also resilience. Hope is closely connected to resilience. We all go through those times where life knocks us down, but we stand up. And if we have hope, we know that whatever happened, we are going to be resilient. We're going to bounce back. It is that provides the strength and the motivation to persevere through adversity. You know, it's not like a beneficial thing unless you have some difficulty to go through. It's a thing you can be proud of yourself. So going through adversity is that ability and willingness to do it that provides the strength. And then it gives you the motivation to continue on. You know, resilience helps individuals bounce back from setbacks to face changes with determination and maintain a sense of optimism despite difficulties. Are we making sense to you, my friends? The number to call is 718-766-4421. We'll get along a little more with the key aspects of hope, but I think let's take a short break, Paul, and we'll be right back.
Why should you join us in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th? Just listen to a couple of Hope Conference attendees.
Thank you, Douglas, for the conference, the Hope Conference. It was amazing. I learned so much. This Hope Conference really culminated in everything I needed to really hone in on, and I know what my life purpose is, and I really thank all of you, every one of you.
Hi, Douglas. I want to thank you for having this conference here. I learned a lot, especially about dreams. I definitely plan on taking your advice, writing down all my dreams. All your staff was very helpful, very friendly, and I'm looking forward to the next conference. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much.
During this impactful three-day conference, you'll be guided through a series of sessions including dream interpretation and future predictions, the great shift, the increasing sense of impending changes and human transformation, virtue spirit healing, the power of auras, chakras, and creating an open mind to your spiritual gifts, plus additional guest speakers and guided meditation. Go now to hopeconferences.org. That's hopeconferences.org for your ticket and a don't miss event. And we'll see you in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona.
You think about you and your family's health every minute, every day, not just when sick. We believe healthcare should bring results and rejuvenate the body. That's why Dr. Douglas James Cottrell compiled some of his best tips from his readings into a book, The Complete New Age Health Guide, Volume 1. From nutrition, anti-aging, and skincare to serious disorders and diseases like autism, PTSD, and cancer. Find out more at DouglasJamesCottrellStore.com or buy a copy on Amazon today.
You're listening to the Global Village International Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell. Call in and ask a question about tonight's topic at area code 718-766-4421. That's 718-766-4421. Now, once again, here's Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
Welcome back, my friends. We're talking about hope tonight, and we're trying to give you a few hints on how powerful this positive emotion can be. It's rooted deeply in belief that things can and will be better, despite the challenges, setbacks, and difficulties you might find yourself in the moment. Hope is an optimistic outlook. Remember that. And this outlook looks beyond the present circumstances and focuses on the possibility of a better future. Paul, did you know that emotional well-being is one of the keys that hope gives a nutrition, or it feeds the emotion well-being by instilling a sense of purpose, meaning,
yes,
and optimism in one's life.
It absolutely
uplifts the split. Yeah, it uplifts the spirit, boosts motivation, and continues to overall psychological health and wellness. Do you think so much it does with as emotional well-being like that?
You know, Douglas, I have to admit that different times in my life, I've met many challenges and got into a little depression here and there, as I guess we all do. And then when I found that, I just said, you know, get up, get moving, get out and exercise a little bit. And there's proof of that also, that exercise can really help the psyche and really put you in a positive mood. I've been doing a lot more walking these days, and it really seems to help when the weather permits. That's the one thing that gets in the way sometimes. We've had a lot of rain.
You don't go singing in the rain like that famous song? You know,
no. I might try that sometime, but I'm not ready. Now that the weather has warmed up and is getting better, yeah, I might do that. Put on some swimming trunks and go singing in the rain. That's a good idea.
Okay.
But make sure it's warm enough and that the rain is warm. Otherwise,
yeah,
a bit of a shock.
That's right.
It does. You know, when you ride your motorcycle and it's raining and it's not so bad, then you ride your motorcycle on the highway, then you know what it feels like? little bullets hitting you in the face. It's just the matter of how fast you're moving forward. But it feels nice when you're in the rain walking along. You know, oh my gosh, where'd that come from, Douglas? Anyway, the resilience is the idea. And you're right about that, Paul. I mean, taking a walk and going outside, getting in the sun, a lot of things are happening. Most importantly, as everybody knows, your body's moving. And when your body's in motion, everything is exercising. You know, you think about that, my friends. When you go for a walk and you're walking along, you think your feet or your legs are getting some exercise. But that blood in your body is going through your head, your brain, as well as the soles of your feet. Everything's moving. I had a lady friend in Europe who found that she just had to go into the forest, had to go into, when I say the forest, I mean like great big ancient trees and paths where people have been walking for, well, since the Romans perhaps. And the atmosphere, the feeling, the sensitivity to the atmosphere and the environment would just uplift her. She had a very stressful job, and she would go for these walks, sometimes late at night, sometimes early in the morning, but whenever she felt like a little bit of a positive energy, she went out. And I think she was actually zapping some energy from the trees. Have you ever done that yourself, Doug? Have you ever gone for walks and picked that up?
I was in California, more than once I was in California, and I was in the sequoia forest with the huge trees.
Mm-hmm.
And the energy was palpable. And I went up and I hugged several of the trees, and I could feel a rush of energy. A calmness came over me. I was so stressed, but a calmness, a wave of calmness came over me. I could feel the energy surge, you know. And so and when I had some difficult times in my life, I would do that. I would go out and go into nature, and I would hug the trees. I didn't have sequoia trees to hug, but would find a large oak or maple tree, and I would hug it. And I could feel the energy. I could feel the surge and a calmness, and a palpable calmness came over me.
Yeah.
So
I think there was
some... that.
Back in the 70s, somebody wrote a book about hugging a tree and the benefits of it. And, of course, it was met with a lot of skepticism. But when you're out in nature, it makes sense. You know, you can't help it. When you go out and you touch those big trees, you can't help it. You know, you walk by a tree, you have to go over and you touch it. And you realize that tree's been here for hundreds of years, perhaps. And
well, the sequoias,
you know,
some of them with almost approaching 2,000 years old.
Wow.
You know, and I'm a great admirer of John Milton. And in Paradise Lost, he says something like, what reinforcement we may gain from hope, if not, what resolution from despair. And, you know, if you have despair, you just give up. It's the hope that is our strength and our sustenance. And I'm a strong believer in what I just said. If I'm feeling depressed, or I'm feeling down, or I have some aspect of despair, I will go out into nature and I will hug a tree. Or I would go out into, if I had a boat, I would go out in the boat. I would walk along the beach with my feet in the water. I would go out in the sunshine, and it all had a very positive effect on me. So, I mean, if someone is depressed, I always suggest that to them. Go outside, commune with nature, go out in the sun, feel the energy from the earth and the sun, and you'll feel better. And invariably they do. You know,
well,
so.
Hope is empowerment, and just as you said, it empowers individuals by reminding them that they have the capacity to influence the shape of their circumstances. And so going out for walks or taking actions, it encourages taking a proactive, steps and making positive choices aligning with the intention of a positive outcome. The big thing is, as you just said, you got to go do it. You have to pursue that goals with enthusiasm. And sometimes that's a little hard to marshal that enthusiasm when things are looking pretty dark. What do you think?
It is. But, you know, I'm a great one for praying. And I know in Psalms it says something like, why hope ye so, ye high hills? This is God's hill, in which it pleaseth him to dwell. And that's part of nature. But I'm a great believer that if I pray to God to give me hope, give me strength, help me to deal with negative emotions, it will happen. But I'm also a great believer that it's necessary for us to act as well. So that you know, go out in nature, get active, as Paul suggested, go for a walk, whatever, but also pray. And this goes more than just hope, in my opinion. When I pray, I have great faith that my prayer will be answered.
Mm-hmm.
So in God is our strength, and he sustains us. And when we have faith that things will get better, invariably they get better. It's when we tumble into the pit of despair, despondency, that's when we have problems. But the thing is, always we know that hope and help is available. So one of my phrases I like is, this too will pass. So when I'm feeling down or depressed about something, this too will pass. I do whatever I can to get past.
Okay, well, there's some good tips, I think, just as you just said. And everybody probably has their own little tips like that, Doug. I mean, that's a good one. This too will pass. If anybody else has a comment out there, the number is 718-766-4421. Inspiration and motivation is something that hope inspires and motivates action, which as Doug has just said. It fuels ambition and creativity and determination. It propels individuals towards their desired outcomes. Hope acts as a driving force, propelling individuals to overcome obstacles and strive to get their dreams fulfilled. As Doug was just saying, he has his systems, he has his words, and he uses them repetitively. Paul, I see we have some people sitting in the queue. Should we take a call or two and see what they have to say?
Absolutely, Douglas. Our first call is from Chicago, and we have Karen on the line. Hello, Karen.
Hello.
Hello, Karen. Yes, Karen. Long time no talk. What's that?
Yes.
How it goes?
Yes.
What's new?
I'm in the midst of packing right now. They sold my building, so I have to move by the end of the month. So I'm hoping that I get everything out. I'm going to stay with my boyfriend, and my mom's going to go with my sister. But I have a lot of packing, so I'm hoping that I make my deadline by the end of the month.
I guarantee you will.
Okay.
I guarantee you will. So your mom was staying with you for the longest time there, and as for everybody knows, this is Karen. She's been on the show for 10 years or so. You're calling in and out, and many times we've been able to forecast some pretty exact occurrences that have happened in Karen's life. And so mom's moving in with your sister. Is that still going to be in Chicago or not too far away?
Not too far away in the suburbs. And then I'm going to put all my stuff in storage and then just take what I need to go stay at my boyfriend's house until I can figure out what my next step is. So that's kind of where everything's going right now. But there's a lot of donating. I'm donating stuff, throwing out stuff, and then keeping stuff as well, the things that I really need.
Very good. Well, you know, it's going to be okay.
Okay.
Are you, is that what you're calling about tonight or what else?
Yes. Yes, I just want to make sure if I meet my deadline, because hopefully I'm looking for a new job as well, and that should be in another suburb, in Oak Brook maybe, if they call me. So I'm hopefully that I'll get that job, and I can just kind of proceed, you know, keep moving along. So.
Well, you have been one amazing person. Anybody goes back in the archives, although we've updated the archives and we've only go back a couple of years now, where we used to go back, I think, 20, a long time anyway. There's a movie or a television series about all the things that have happened to you over the years, Karen. So you've done well. So this is with your boyfriend and yourself together, that might turn into something a little more convenient, and which might be the forces of the universe getting this arrangement together. And I can see a pile of clothes in the corner, so you're not going to get quite everything out, but it'll be most of the stuff. But the landlord wants you to have the place clean, so do the vacuuming and everything like that, and get them to come in before you leave, like the day before, and say, okay, look, see, we got some stuff here, got some clothes maybe, but you see there's no holes in the wall, we vacuumed the rugs or whatever. That's what I see him giving the once over, and he's got that little upside down frown on his face, kind of going, okay, you know, being picky. That would be the only thing, that have him in advance, so that there's no question that when you leave that the next day or so, that, you know, he's not around or he doesn't get the final inspection. Get him in a day or so early, and that way, if he does point something out, you know, like, oh, need to patch that hole or something or whatever, you can do that. Otherwise, it looks like a pretty smooth transition. I don't see many glitches at all. Looking forward to it, I'll bet.
Yeah. It's just a lot of things. It just happened overnight. My landlady passed away, so it was just very unexpected. But I understand, you know, like the kids have to sell, and they, you know, everybody wants their cut, and you know they need to move on. I need to move on too as well. So it's just a hassle packing. That's all. Again, but, you know, it's just getting everything coordinated to get out, and that's pretty much it. And hopefully once I finish this, then maybe this job will call, because it's a government job, and I'm hopefully they'll call me by the end of the month or next month.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully, you've used that term a couple of times now. Hopefully, this will be your and I see a cake putting icing on top. I was about to say that, icing on the cake for the move. So I think this is all coming together for you now after all these years of one step forward, one step back. Looks like things are, you know, a couple steps, three, four straight ahead. So looks like you're going to have an enjoyable summer, too. You're going to be outside. You're planning on, is there a pool nearby at your boyfriend's? Place now? Okay.
Yes. You hit that right on the head. He's going tomorrow to set the pool to, I guess they have to open the pool up and put the water in and the chemicals and everything. So he's going tomorrow, because I don't need him here because I'm still packing. So he's going to go and open the pool with his friend tomorrow. Yeah, that's going to start tomorrow. And somebody mentioned a boat too, and he also has a boat. So later in the summer, we'll probably take a boat ride once we get settled.
Well, that's cool. Where is there water near Chicago? Let's see. Is there any
Antioch.
Water at all? Pardon?
Antioch. In Antioch.
Okay. I'm thinking of, you know, Lake Michigan or whatever, but I'm making fun, like I don't know it's there. But anyway, yes, one of the biggest lakes in the other than Lake Superior. But good. Okay, so it sounds like you're going to have fun, and things are moving ahead for you. So hopefully... you'll get this job with the government, and you're on your way. Very good, Karen.
Yes. So everyone, just say a prayer for me that I can pack all my things. I'm trying to get there, but
hope. Always have hope and trust that you'll get it done.
Yes, most definitely.
And don't put it off.
No, I'm doing it right now.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for being on the show, Karen, and we wish you well.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Paul, where are we going next?
We're going back to Chicago, Douglas, and Carol is on the line with us tonight. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Carol. Hello.
Hey.
I was thinking about, in the words of Angela Davis, she said, no, she was on Sunday morning, and the host asked her, she said, well, how come you haven't, after all you've been through, how come you haven't given up hope? She said, without hope, nothing can move or change.
This is true.
That's what she said. And I think about Prince, too, when he said, dearly beloved, we are gathered here to get through this thing called life. And then I remember what you said one time on the show. You said, if you have the will, and all those things, then comes hope.
Yeah, well... They all come down to one thing, and that is motivation. You know, hope inspires motivation, and it fuels the ambition. It makes you more creative because out of necessity, you might have to find solutions. But it does propel people forward towards desired outcomes. You know, you can stagnate, you can procrastinate, you can go in circles. But that one thing that motivates you is the hope. Like everybody gets to that point where you know you have to take that step, and then you commit to taking that step. And no matter whether it's getting out of bed or going to wash the car or do something, there comes that moment when there's no doubt you're about to do it. There's no procrastination. There's no putting it off. There is just moving forward. And that's important. And that with hope comes that motivation. You know, you do it for some gain, some benefit, as you just said. There's absolutely nothing is accomplished without hope. We all have hopes and dreams. So what's your hope and dream, Carol?
Well, that people become aware of the universal law of cause and effect. And I wish, Dr. Cottrell, that you hadn't. Sometimes I wish it. That you hadn't clarified it for me, because everything I do almost
everything I do what?
Everything I do, it's like, oh, that is why that happened, or you created this situation. So you know, when I really wasn't aware of it, it's like I was carefree.
Oh yes, I know. That's what Jesus said, or Yeshua, as we're calling him, Yeshua the Christ. That's what he said to his disciples. He said, "You know, I've been your teacher, and I've taught you many things." And everybody's going, "Mm-hmm, thank you. Yes, you're the rabbi, you're the master." And he said, "But I've also condemned you by making you knowledgeable of these many things." And that, when I first heard that, I was shocked. But, you know, it's true. It's better not to know, you know, a certain way. You know, you're innocent. You don't have that I should have known better responsibility. But once you know, you can't go back. And that's true, Carol. So that's the way on the spiritual path. Everybody's hungry to be spiritual and wants to know more. And by knowing more, you have to sort of live by what you know. Otherwise, you know, difficulty comes to you, or it's not difficult. It's a treading water. What would that be a good word for saying? You're just stagnating. But you know when you know what you need to do and you have to do it, then the wise person gets on it right away. But, you know, I wouldn't mind being back in those days where I didn't know anything. You know, like, what do you want to do? I remember when you were a kid. I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, let's go down to the park. Oh, well, we did that yesterday. Let's go swimming. Oh, okay. Let's go play baseball or something. You know, I wish I missed those days. I miss those days when my mother used to, you know, have my lunch ready and my dinner ready. And magically, my laundry was in my dresser drawer, you know, all clean and folded. It was a miracle.
Well,
don't we all wish we were?
The fact that when, start some of the holidays, it just seemed like forever. Time goes much more quickly when you get older. You get a longer sense of perspective.
Sorry, Doug. Well, you know, and Shirley MacLaine said that don't beat yourself up too much, she said, because you have many more lifetimes to get it together. And that gives you some kind of hope, too, you know, that, it, you know, you got some other lifetimes to get it together.
Mm-hmm.
But, Carol, you don't want to build up too much negative karma because that will make you, that will be unpleasant in some cases, so.
No, but
well,
when you become aware, is that it's like you don't even want to make a move sometimes because you say, oh, this is going to happen. This will happen. So you don't want to make a move. So what I'm saying in that case, don't beat yourself up too much because you got some more lifetime to get it together. That's all.
Yeah. Those were the words I was chuckling there, Carol. My mentor, Ross Peterson, was somebody asked that question or way back, not myself, but it was a class I was in. And it was, yeah, you're afraid, you know, you don't want to get bad karma. You don't want to get, you know, the sin. You don't want to do this and that. And he said, well, how do you know whether it's good or bad unless you do it? And I went, yeah, that's a solution. Sure. So, you know, when we shadow box like that, we take something away from ourselves and we're always on guard. We don't want to make mistakes. And so when we're always on guard and thinking about not making mistakes, you know what happens? What you think about, you attract and you make mistakes. So it's better to go back into that child mentality where you just go and do things and you're like, wow, that's interesting. I didn't know you could, you know, take a cake and turn it upside down and eat it from the bottom, so to speak. And everybody's going to say, what are you, crazy? You just turn that cake upside down. It's all over the tablecloth. Oh, my God. No, I didn't know any better. But next time, you know. In the meantime, you get to lick the tablecloth, put your finger across and get that extra icing. Ha, ha, ha. So it's better to not know and just find out about things in a certain way. But when you have that same understanding, then if you're not sure, you say to yourself, well, I'm not sure what to do, but it's better to do something and find out whether it's good or bad, constructive or destructive. And that sense of hope, you hope mm-hmm. you're doing things right, that's going to motivate you, but not to be afraid of life. Life is, from my own opinion, everybody else has been around for a while. Life is an experiment. If we knew what to do all the time, it would be boring. But because we don't know, you know, there's that little intrigue, that little excitement of, let's push the envelope. Let's see what we can get away with. And then when the bad stuff comes, you know, when the bullies show up or the difficulties, to recognize that there is such a force out in the world where there are people who are narcissists, who have tendencies to hurt people and get some enjoyment about it. And that's when you have the experience to know how to stand up, to prevent them from stealing from you, to tell them off, to actually push them away physically if you need me. And having that assurance, that hope of being right, if you will, comes from repetition, comes from experiences that you find yourself in, but it also gives yourself permission to do those things. And when you make a mistake, you make a mistake. It's kind of like, oh, I didn't mean it. I thought you were trying to break my window or I thought this or that or the other thing. But after a time of recognition, and when you're spiritually aware, you're also alert and you're alert to things happening. And so sometimes you get in a situation and your intuition averts you from that situation. You kind of make a left turn at the corner where there's a problem further down the street. You don't know why you did that. But the point is, you know, like, don't be afraid. Like, And when you make a mistake, you go, geez, that was a bad choice. Oh, my gosh. I ate 6 donuts. Oh, my God. Now I got a tummy ache. Yeah, but they tasted really good going down.
Some things you can't, you know, are predestined for you because of your karma, you know. Like, for example, you got people that are going into a lot of money. Or they're going to invent something. You got your, you know, you got your life. Some of your life is predestined because of the karma that you know you made.
Well, if something comes to you, Carol, we've talked about this many times in the show, and it's a good question. When something comes to you, it's either old or new. And if it's old and it comes at you, there's a lesson in there. Maybe you didn't get it right previously. And so you get another chance to update yourself or to do it right. So by finding out about it, that's a good thing. It doesn't come back. When you avoid something or you sidestep it, and it is something you're supposed to handle, the key to be the spiritually aware person, the key is that it comes back. The same problem, different people at a different time, but it comes back. So when you recognize it, oh, my God, here's the same problem coming back again, and you say to yourself, oh, I got it. I didn't handle it right the last time, and there's one thing I'm avoiding. I just can't possibly do this. I just don't want to find out how to go to small claims court and sue that person that's stealing from me all the time. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to be in court. It's so scary. But everybody comes by and different times, the same thing. Somebody steals from you. So as soon as you recognize that, that's when the hope that you're going to overcome this allows you to have that inspiration and motivation that the hope gives you, and it fuels your ambition. You become creative on how to solve the problem, and it leads you towards that desired outcome, which is that nobody's going to hurt you, harm you, or do whatever they were doing before. But up until that point, it's the last thing you want to do. So my friends, Carol and I have spoken about this before, and it is, if you keep having the same problem all the time, like a similar problem over and over again, and there's something you're avoiding that you don't want to do, perhaps you need to go and tell somebody off. You know, or perhaps somebody's bullying your child at school, and you need to go and talk to the teacher, or you need to do something, and you don't want to do it because you want to embarrass somebody, you don't want to cause any problems for somebody, blah, 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 and your child keeps getting bullied. That's the thing that you have to do. Whatever you do not want to do, you're avoiding like the plague, that's the key. And I can tell you that when you do that, finally, the problem disappears. It never comes back. Whether you handled it properly or improperly, it never comes back. So that's the key. Is if you're having something that's coming to you all the time and you are avoiding it, there's one thing in the solution that you're avoiding and the problem keeps coming back, then you have to say to yourself, wait a minute, okay, this is the thing I have to do because it's my duty, and you go and you get it done. And I guarantee you the problem will go away, never come back. Guarantee. Make sense, Carol?
Dr. Cottrell, I got one question. I got two. But like when this atmosphere changes, like you get in you call a pneumonia front, you know, where you have weather and then it drops significantly all in one day. You start off your 80 degrees and you're 75 degrees and then you drop 20 degrees.
Yep. You get a front coming through. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I think something, and then what happens, I think something is in the atmosphere. Either, you know, NASA is doing something, somebody is, or China or Russia, and I think something is getting ready to happen. Because even Stephen Greer, the ufologist and the emergency doctor, he said it as well. He said something big is coming. So I don't know what that is. I said, I don't know. I'm going to have to ask Dr. Cottrell, does he see it? Nothing is coming.
Well, when you have a weather front coming through from that, the Earth is changing, and I have predicted in my book, I have talked about it on my shows, as I'm Carol, I'm talking to everybody now, and we have talked about the ice caps melting because the Earth is getting hot from the inside out. It's got nothing to do with greenhouse gases or chemicals in the after the airplanes pushing them out, chemtrails or whatever. It's the heat of the temperature of the Earth coming to the crust. And the reason that's happening is, as I have said years ago, that the Earth's core was spinning at a different speed than the crust. And somebody came up with that years after I had said it, and they said, yes, it's happening, but it's okay. The differences in the speed of the molten core and the crust, that's how it's supposed to be. They're spinning at different speeds. So it's kind of like an orange, and inside the orange is turning inside and underneath the skin. I don't think that's right. And to have somebody say to me, yeah, it's turning at a slower speed than the outside, that means that the outside is slipping around. You know, it's kind of like on a water cushion. Well, then the world came out, or somebody came out and said the world, apparently the sun has changed polarity. The North Pole went to the South Pole, stayed there for a while, and then the South Pole went to the North Pole in the sun. And those were glaring pictures of the sun looking like a pumpkin at Halloween. And then coming back to today is that I have said that the world's heating up and the ice caps are melting and the amount of water is increasing and it's going to flood a lot of the land masses around the globe. When I was in Barcelona 10 years ago, I had a dream where there were two lakes that were surrounding Barcelona. And somebody told me who lived there that there were two rivers that were there now. And then they flow into the Mediterranean, which means in the future, those river basins or river beds would be filled up with water and they would become two lakes that look like parentheses around Barcelona. That is happening right now. We're told that, you know, the capital of Indonesia is sinking. I was a newscast the other day on CNN or something was talking about somebody coming out and saying the weight of the skyscrapers in Manhattan is making the island sink. I beg your pardon. I think it's the Earth. The water around the planet is rising. And as we all know, water doesn't have, it's at a constant level. It doesn't go up or down, right? I mean, water finds its equal basis or surface is equal wherever the pressure in water is equal, so it's level around the world. So we're seeing things like that in Shanghai as well. And so the excuses of, you know, the skyscrapers in Manhattan are making the island sink and the U.S. engineers, Army engineers are going to be maybe looking at putting dikes up around the island. Ha, 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 sounds like Venice. Oh, my God, what's happening? So getting back to the question is that this whole idea about something big is coming, there's a lot of expectation that we're going to be visited from our cousins out there in the Netherlands when this Nibiru or this planet is coming at us. There's a lot of conversation about that. I was on another show and I was talking about a big smoke ring. And somebody said that's a stargate. And I saw a craft coming through that big stargate. So maybe we are going to have some visitations from visitors. But the temperature of the planet, the oceans are heating up. And anybody, if you want to find out how severe that can be, go to your AI program and ask, or go to Google or some other medium and say, what happens if the planet's oceans heat up 1 degree? And I, in the past, have said it was going to heat up to 4 degrees. So it has already been up to 1 or 2 degrees. What's going to happen when all the ice at the North and South Pole is melted? That's a stabilizing weight, counterweight, if you will. It keeps the planet or keeps our rotation on its axis rather stable. But we know right now it's shifting at about 40 degrees. The North Pole's wobbling all over the place. And I've predicted on this show that people would be up looking around for the North Pole. There would be like tour guides taking people up, and they wanted to stand right under where the North Pole would be. Well, right now the North Pole is in the northern part of Canada, but where the North Pole is, there's no land underneath it. It's all ice and water. But it's in the northern part of Canada, of course, mostly when the ice is there, permaterra, so to speak. But what if this is Greenland, or what if it's in the center of Russia that we're looking at, where people are going to go there where the North Pole is? No ice was in my vision or dream. People were just walking around trying to look for where the North Pole was so they could feel the magnetic lines coming, down into the world as if they would be at that exact spot where the North Pole was. That was a vision I had, which means, as I've just said, the North Pole is going to be moving. And it's going to be movable because people couldn't find it. It kept moving around so fast. What does that mean? That means that the Earth is wobbling. Its rotation is not stable. And what if it flips? And back in the day, when all the societies and, from the different ancient cultures, I'm trying to think of the names of them now, and Sumerians and Anunnaki and things like that, they have these myths where there was the great flood. What if that wasn't, per se, a flood? What if it was the Earth tilting at a significant angle and the oceans washing over top of the land? Because, if the Earth tilts at 45 degrees, the oceans are still traveling horizontally, and that means that they're going to rock out of their basins and go across the landmass, which seems to have been in the past. Let's take a quick break, and I'll go get a drink of water. We'll be right back after this.
Every so often, an individual appears who can demonstrate the ability to access the dimension known as the Akashic Field. Dr. Douglas James Cottrell is one such individual. The field is like a celestial library of all our thoughts and actions since the dawn of time. Science is demonstrating that through this energetic field, our minds are connected to one another despite our perception that we're all separate. This is why the great religions of the world teach respect, compassion, and tolerance. They depict the field as the book of life, the source of inventions, inspiration, and insight. In the book, Conversations with the Akashic Field, Dr. Cottrell offers you practical advice from the Akashic Field so you may live a life of peace and prosperity. Go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and click on Shop. There you'll find books, meditation, and other spiritual advancement materials. Are you ready to experience life-changing wisdom, spiritual insights, and transformative knowledge? Come to the next Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th at the Holiday Inn Suites Phoenix Airport North, with special conference rates for attendees. Go right now to hopeconferences.org for all the details. Powerful healing techniques and spiritual guidance for your personal growth. Interactive questions and answers with Douglas James Cottrell and other experts. Insights into coming global events and predictions through a spiritual lens. The Hope Conference brings together like-minded people to provide them with the tools they need to unlock their full potential. Come to the Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th. Go now to hopeconferences.org. That's hopeconferences.org for all the details.
Welcome back to the Global Village with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and co-host Doug Bentley. Tonight, we're talking about how everyone can endure anything if they just have a little hope. Here once again is your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell.
You were talking. And welcome back to the show, my friends. This is Douglas James Cottrell speaking. You're listening to the Global Village Radio Show being broadcast worldwide. And for all our friends listening in around the world in your own time zone in the next little while, listening to the show in the archives, we're pleased that you've tuned in and are listening to us. We will be coming someplace in the world to introduce the HOPE conferences. We've been invited to Dubai, Spain. We have also been invited to South America. And we are on our way a couple places across the continent here in North America. So tune in and check out HopeConferences.org, and you can look at my website, DouglasJamesCottrell.com, for information on how to get to the next conference coming up in Arizona here in about a week's time. I guess I'll be thereabouts in Arizona, so tune in. Maybe we'll see you there. The rate has been discounted. We're trying to make this a successful, voluminous occasion, and please come if you can make it. It will be a spectacular get together. The number to call tonight is 718-766-4421. I was talking to Carol in Chicago, and we're getting a little off topic tonight, talking about HOPE and all the wonderful things about HOPE fosters connection and support within communities. It encourages people to come together. It does, doesn't it? They share their experiences and offer encouragement and empathy to one another. And it creates a sense of belonging and solidarity. You know, think about that. We all have the same hope, the same ambition. We come together. And as a spiritual and transcendent perspective, hope often involves a spiritual or transcendent dimension, connecting individuals to something greater than themselves. We all want to help people. We all want to be part of something. And by doing that, we're taking on the mantle of becoming more spiritual. As Carol was talking a little bit about understanding the laws, understanding how to behave and how to treat each other and how to do the right thing, those are all the first steps that somebody who gets on that path to self-enlightenment begins to look at and question. They look within. They try to make themselves better. They want to do the right thing. You know, they do a little soul searching along the way, and then perhaps a little forgiveness or a little understanding of why they did things that perhaps you're not so proud about. But that's okay. Regret wipes out the debt. And if you make amends and you do a little penance you're on your way to wisdom. You know, hope does involve faith and belief in a higher power or a sense of purpose aligned with a broader universal principle. And as I just said, when you get on the path and you hope for better, you're looking forward. You're looking to the great beyond. You're looking to the invisible to be made visible. It's a path that never stops. It gets broader. It gets steeper. But it's one in which you evolve yourself to get closer and closer to God Almighty. It's kind of like if God lived in the penthouse and you're on the street, that's where you want to go. You want to get up to the penthouse somehow. And that means you have to take your steps. So where were we? We're talking to Carol. One last question, Carol. Mm-hmm. Yes, Paul.
Yeah, just confirming Carol is still with us. Carol?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
We can.
Oh, okay. And I was thinking on the guidelines of a UFO coming and the power, you know, some of the power grids in certain cities going out, like you had said. I think that's going to come.
Well, we don't know any of that, Carol, really, you know. There is stories about ancient visitors, and basically they seem to want to cooperate with us. I don't know. They seem to want to make us part of their society, from what I can gather from, you know, all those neat documentaries that we can read. But we don't know what's going to happen. And I'm certain if they are able and capable to traverse space, they must have some powerful power, I don't want to use the word weapons, but they must have some powerful devices that they could basically do things that would be bad. But then the question is, why would they do that? Whenever there was a conquering country or an army, they never wiped out the congregation. They never wiped out the, I shouldn't say they never, I should say usually it was more like to incorporate the people of the land, you know, like another province, you know, something like the way Russia does, right? To just keep taking over another country and making Russia bigger back in the day. And that's what I think you're trying to do these days. Go ahead, Carol.
Well, I'm not saying that they're going to shut down our power grids. I'm saying that's going to happen anyway because of our activity. I'm saying that I think that we're going to get some validity or some proof that NASA has been involved with UFOs. That's what I think we're going to do.
Okay.
Not that they're going to harm us, because if they did, you know, they would have done that way long before now. I don't think that. I just think that some of the power grids are going to go out because of our activity, you know.
Well, the way we are right now, what comes to mind to say is that the way we used to live just a few years ago is gone. We don't live the same just within the last, say, 3 to 5 years. That way of life is gone. And we live a whole new way of life now. And we've adjusted. It's at warp speed. Many people have trouble keeping up. But it was just a few short years ago before COVID. That world is gone. And here we are now talking about digital currencies, warfare, monstrous warfare, tidal waves and weather changes that are severe, hurricanes and tornadoes and all kinds of really what I would call really kind of bad stuff. But we're hopeful that we're going to survive, and we are. But it wasn't too long ago in Syria and Turkey and those places where we've had earthquakes. You know, 40,000 people lost their life in a moment. In a moment. And those kinds of occurrences have gone on around the world all the time. But now they seem to be accelerated, wouldn't you say, Paul? Seems to be, things are speeded up here.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
I'm
thank you, girl.
My last question. forgive me, Paul. The girl down the street, I want to know, how do you know it's going to be this year? What do you see, a calendar?
The lady down the street that is your nemesis, is that the one?
Yes.
I thought she passed away.
No, she hasn't.
Okay. Well, she just loves you. She's got a big smile every time she sees you. You must be giving her lots of energy or something like that.
Oh, you think she hasn't passed away yet?
No, I don't. I see a lady all in blue, so I'm not sure if it's the same one. But I was sure there was a lady passed away that you were interested in the neighborhood.
Yes,
maybe I'm confusing.
What I'm saying, what you see, Dr. Cottrell, is I think many times authentic, but timing. Okay.
Yeah. That's true. It's kind of like looking through a family picture book and you say, oh, look, there's your Aunt Millie. Now, was that 1968 or 1978? You know, like, I can't remember. 10 years. And it's like, you know what I mean? You can be out 10 years. So it's the same with the view from the intuition. It kind of is like that. Sometimes it can be specific and other times, well. It just goes. However, the events do happen. But anyway, thanks for being on the show. We've given you lots of time tonight, Carol. You haven't been on for a while, so we appreciate you being here, as always. And thank you for your great questions and taking us far and near. May you have a wonderful long weekend next weekend, and maybe we hope to see you in where is that place again?
Dubai. You're going to Dubai?
I've been invited along with the Hope team, but we're going to go to Arizona first. Yeah, we'll go to Arizona first. I have a worldwide reputation. I was told that my last Sunday service last week was banned in Russia. Our Sunday service that we have every Sunday on Zoom, go to the internationalschooloftheprophets.com, and you can get on the Zoom link there and join us at 1 o'clock Eastern time here for our Virtue Spiritual Healing Christian, Practical Christianity service, interfaith service, if you will. And we were banned. We were banned. And the reason we were banned is, according to the Russian official, copyright infringement. There you go. That's how far our show is reaching out and how much impact we're having in the world. And so everybody, internationalschoolofthepropphets.com, and you'll find a Zoom link, and you can click on the link, 1 o'clock Eastern, and you can join our Zoom virtual healing and prayer service. And everybody's welcome. It's free. We ask for a donation if you care to do this, do so. And we have two churches, one in Canada and one in Fort Worth. And again, this is where the conferences, the Hope conferences, are evolving from that. So I'm going to let you go, Carol. And we've been banned in Russia. Imagine that. Little old Douglas Cottrell in the Many Mansions Spiritual Center community group. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Ask them, can I come with you to Dubai? Can one of the host come with you to Dubai?
My microphone went there for a second. Anyway, thank you, Carol. You take care. And we'll see you next time. Okay. Okay, where are we going next, Paul?
Well, Douglas, we're going all the way out to the West Coast, to Anaheim, California. Larry is on the line. Hello, Larry.
Hi. Thank you for having me, everyone. And it's good to hear from you, Douglas, again. And what I want to share is a story. Well, not a story, but my own experience. I remember when I was unemployed, and it really sucked during that time. I was pondering of how I was going to take care of my wife and my daughter, and it was really tough. I mean, at the time, I was still employed with my school because I teach at a college, but some of my assigned classes were taken away. I don't know the reasons. It didn't matter. So I just kind of, like, took a break. And so during that break, I was a little depressed and just low on energy. And just wondering how I was going to provide and support my family. And I remember I came across one of your videos, Douglas, on YouTube. You have many recordings posted up, and one of the ones that I recall during that time was the one on manifestation. And I haven't been too connected with that word choice for my own experiences and how I've seen people just use it. But then your video brought a different lens to it, like a different touch to it. And I remember, like, no matter what you think, like, if you think about it, it will happen, but, like, you kind of have to push forward. I don't remember exactly, like, the day and how it just happened, but I just started going on YouTube and watching videos of, like, how to update my resume and my CV and all that stuff. And I remember I was in Indeed.com just applying to a bunch of jobs, and then after that, I just had these thoughts like, okay, no, you know what? I'm going to get a job. And I was hoping for a remote job, a full-time remote job. And there was like rejections here and there, but then I never gave up. And ultimately I currently have a full-time job that's fully remote, get to stay at home, watch my daughter grow and be with my wife and be able to provide. And then to add on to that hope effect, I recently purchased one of your quantum meditations, and in there you mentioned a prayer I should say every time. And ever since I started saying that prayer, one of the things you said in that recording was that this is the way to be, like, acknowledged, to be seen, to increase your basically who I am as a person within the company. In just these last couple of days, I've noticed that my percentage has gone up. I've been shown in the leaderboards, and I'm just very content where I'm at now. And, of course, I'm still working hard to improve those financial aspects in my family. And so a lot of it's thanks to you. And, of course, I give myself credit for not giving up. It was so easy to. I think I had moments where I was going to, like, you know, cry a bit here and there. But it just went on like that I just stood up and I just did something, because sitting down didn't help. I needed to do something, and so I did, and I hoped. And that's what I want to share with you guys.
Well, that's a rather amazing story. Step by step, incrementally went from where you were in the beginning and where you ended up. And the one thing that you had was a clear-cut objection. You know, where you wanted to go, a goal, if you will. And that was to get a job where you would be remote and be able to stay at home and play with your children, or your child, rather. And it happened. So that's part of the solution, is to have a clear, concise vision of where you want to be. And the reason you know what it's clear and concise is because you can experience. It appeals to one of the five physical senses. But the idea is that it's pretty clear. You wanted to have a job at home where you could take care of your child and your wife and play with your child when you wanted to, but also get a decent salary or something to support the family. Pretty clear. And it just took a little while to get there. And I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just summarizing for the people out there. But all the while, you were hoping to get this, right?
Yes, very much.
And there must have been a few times when you thought, you know, oh my gosh, is this really going to happen?
Yeah.
How'd you get past those times?
I can't remember how I got through those times. I'm just recollecting some moments of watching videos, like there's this guy named Earl Nightingale. He would have like videos about manifestation. Mm-hmm. He would quote texts from the Bible, and then I remember rewatching the same videos from you, and it was just like this combination of like, don't give up, like no matter what it is, keep pushing forward, like don't give up. And I think it was during those times I'm watching those videos and those messages, listening to those messages, I think those were the times I was about to give up, but then I kept going.
Well, that you just summarized that hope is a dynamic force and influences attitudes, perspectives, and actions. Right? It provided a guiding light for you during those challenging times, and it enabled you to have a vision of a better future. And then you, what can we call it? You were supported by your ongoing searching for knowledge and information, and you found it. Earl Nightingale's been around since the 70s. You know, he had motivational tapes. Those are things that you put in little things called tape recorders. I know nobody knows what that is out there who was born, you know, maybe after 1990, but 1990 is 50 years ago. But he had a whole series of tape cassettes, and people would be on a variety of topics, and you would play one. He was also very well, shall we say, announced. He would have his Earl Nightingale minutes on let's say commercials, radio, and also if you were in department stores, you could hear him come on occasionally with his little pep talks. But the point is, that was one of many, and that's the thing about truth. It's spread around a lot. And, you know, pat yourself on the back. You had the motivation of taking care of your family, not shirking from your responsibilities. You were a stay-at-home dad. You were a supporting dad, and you lived up to your responsibilities like a man and a dad and a father and a husband. And that's encouraging to others who may not want to do that and think it's easier just to disappear. No, don't do that. Stand up and do the right thing.
Thank you, Douglas. And again, just you're reminding me about being grateful. And so that's what I want to leave with. And I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of that process and giving me the hope to keep pushing forward and never giving up.
Well, you did it on your own, Larry. You know, the words are there. Everybody hears the words. You know, that old saying, many are called and few are chosen. It's, you know, you choose to do the right thing. And you did it on your own. You know, everybody's there patting you on the back, coaching you and giving you a little direction. But, you know, you did a good thing and you found the keys to success. And that's how it is for everything in your life. Always. Anything you want in your life, you just follow the same steps. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
If you say you want to be a millionaire before you're 30, you can be a millionaire before you're 30, but you have to put yourself in some vehicle to make you a millionaire. You can't sit there on your doorstep and say, I'm going to be a millionaire, No, you got to do something. How can you be a millionaire? Well, I'm talking to everybody, Larry. So what do you know about? Do you know how to wash windows? Can you make a millionaire washing windows? Absolutely. There are people who wash windows on skyscrapers and they make millions of dollars. The steps they took to get there took a few. I once said, and I've said this to many people over the years, but I once said to a man who came and he said, I'm looking for a job. I can't get a job anywhere. And I said, can you carry a bucket of water and a squeegee, a sponge, and a little soap? And he said, well, of course I can. I said, well, tomorrow, that's what you get. There's a bucket, a sponge, a squeegee, and a rag or two, and you go out and you start knocking on the storefronts on the street and say, I'll wash your window for $2. I'll wash your window for $3. I'll come in and I'll do both sides of the window for $5. He did it. I met him years later, and he told me that he made so much money he couldn't believe it. Because if he could wash a window in 5 minutes and he had so many places he could go on the same street, because business people, $2 for wash my window, sure, throw away money. And he had so many clients that he had to hire a partner, sort of an associate, to help him. And they got bigger windows to do. Then they had to have a ladder. And they got $10 a window or something like that. And I was listening to the man, and I remembered saying, I sort of remember this saying that to you, you know, years ago, but he did it. And the same for just about anything you want to do. What we have a tendency to do, Larry, is be impatient. And this is where hope comes in. Hope is a dynamic force that influences our attitudes and our perspectives and our actions. And it provides a guiding light. In other words, what we're going to do, it gives us that inner strength. And we also allow us to navigate ourselves through uncertainty in life. That man had to, anybody can get a bucket. Anybody can get a squeegee. Anybody can get some soap. Anybody can get a sponge. And I said to him, now remember, when you go to the store, ask them if you can use their washroom to get the water so you don't have to carry the water from place to place. Or you fill the bucket up, take it to the next place, empty it out, fill it up before you leave. And all of a sudden, you know, you don't have any water to buy. And he did it. But those times, the uncertain thing was he had to go up to that first place, that very first store, and walk up to the door and go, hiya, I'm here to wash windows, $2. What do you think? He had to do that. And that's called the threshold of success. People can get all the way up there, and then they have doubt, and then they quit, they turn around, and they fade. Successful people don't have that as much. Matter of fact, successful people learn that that's the thing to overcome right away. And once you make up your mind, you keep going. So the hope is that it provides all that energy and the enthusiasm. It allows you to have resilience. You know, when somebody says, "Nah, buzz off. I don't want my windows. You're going to make a mess here. Get away from me." Okay. Ding, you move on down. You don't quit. And that takes that inner strength. Say, okay, well, he's having a bad day. I'll move on down and I'll find the next guy. And as such, people encourage people to work. You know, it's that when you see somebody who's trying to help themselves, you want to help them. And so that's one of the keys to success. But anyway, my friend, what you've learned is the same. Whatever you did, whatever you learned to get this job, to be at home, and taking care of your family, that those same steps to success are there. You just have to follow them the same next time, whatever you want to do.
Thank you.
Okay. I was talking to everybody, Larry, so, you know, thanks for the example. But anyway, we'll see you. I guess we're going to see you in Arizona, are we?
Yes, I will be seeing you guys there for sure.
Yeah, well, I've got a special treat for you. You can stay for the whole weekend, you and your wife.
You bet.
Okay. We'll see you and you talk to Paul when you get there, or you talk to Jack, and they'll know all about it, okay? We'll see you there. Okay, amigo.
Yes.
Bring friends, you know, maybe a couple of hundred or at least two or three. You know, spread the word. Put it out on your email address. Hey, I'm going to Arizona. Come on down with me, or see you there or whatever. Let's see, Anaheim, California, that's like 10 minutes away from Phoenix, Arizona, isn't it? I'm kidding.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
On a map, it's only a few inches.
That's right. What the heck? Okay, Larry, see you later. Take care, amigo.
See you later.
Okay. Okay, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, everybody. Where are we going next, Paul?
Going to the East Coast, Douglas. We've got Vince in New York on the line. Hello, Vince.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Vince, haven't heard from you for a while. Are you doing okay? How's your employment?
Yeah.
Going?
Well, that's one of the things I called it. See, I'm hoping right now I'm working, and it's only a seasonal position at a brewery, and could turn into full-time after 90 days. But in the meantime, I'm only making $18 an hour, and there's no benefits, nothing. And I'm hoping, and this is my hope, is a couple of things, is that I get a job that's going to be permanent and pay more and be able to make my car payments and pay all my bills. So in the meantime, until something else happens, I am looking for something else. But the problem with this job, too, is I have a lot of pain in my lower back and the right side of my lower back, too. And I'm working through it. I'm trying really hard to work and everything. And my feet are constantly hurting, and my left knee is swelling up like crazy. So I don't know what's going on. But I can't go see a doctor because I have no coverage. until I get a full-time position somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm putting my feelers out there. I have been reapplying for the same job I had that I got dismissed from back in February because they said I am eligible for a rehire. So I'm hoping to go back there real soon. I've been putting application after application inconsistently. So I want to just be able to get a job where I can be able to make all my payments and not having to worry if I'm going to lose my car next month or if I'm not going to be able to make the my rent or my bills next month. Or, you know, so that's what I'm hoping for. And then on top of that, Kathy, her breast implant exploded inside. She's been clear of they thought she might have had lung, breast, and spine cancer. She has been cleared of that, but she's going to be going in for surgery in about another month to get the breast implants removed.
Right.
And hopefully she'll feel much better. You know, but I'm also worried too because she doesn't have a very good heart.
Well, I see her Vince feeling relieved. Like she's like when the implants come out, she's going to be much happier. She was happy when they went in, and she did it for other reasons. But now, coming out, she's going to be quite happy with her body. And I would encourage her to do some stretching exercises or some dancer size, something like that.
Yeah.
That'll get her strength up and tone her up. As far as yourself goes, you know, you're a pretty resilient guy. I see basically your muscles are tightening up in your leg, and any kind of stretching on your leg, I see somebody grabbing your foot and pulling your foot away from your leg. That's the image I have. So it's like the muscles are jamming up, and any kind of traction or any kind of, you know, pulling your leg, it's like your muscles are just knotting up on you. So
that's what I thought too.
Yeah, I don't see any injury to the bone or anything like that. I just see like somebody pulling on your leg, like really pulling or stretching it out. So you might be able to hook your foot on something and pull your leg, you know, like pull your body away from your leg and stretch it out, or put some weight on it and hold it over the edge of a table, and that'll stretch your leg. Whatever it is, it's in the hip and the long muscles at the top of the leg. But it looks like your top of your leg and your bottom of your leg aren't in line. They look like they're twisted one to the other.
Yeah. Well, okay. I have started working out again. And in the process, I make sure that I do some stretching. I do a lot of stretching, you know, usually after I work out. And I'm doing an hour of cardio a day, too. And I'm watching what I eat now because I'm trying to get my weight back down to 185. Right now I have lost some weight, so I'm hovering around 230 right now. So I got a little ways to go. But the whole job thing and making enough money to survive, that's the biggest issue for me right now.
Well, there's all kinds of employment in the country right now. So I know you're looking for a specific kind of employment. And my rule of thumb is when you need something, go out and take whatever you can to start and get a first job and then look for a second job and keep going. But you already have one job going. You're not making enough.
Yeah.
So
that's
follow,
the thing.
Follow Larry's example. In your mind, what would be the best case job for you? In other words, driving a tow motor truck or, you know, I'm just throwing that out there. What would it be, the cherry job that you would like, and then to do everything you can and go get it?
Actually, I would like to get a job, something similar like that, to either be a machine operator or get on a forklift, but to become a lead position. Now, in April, I started a new job at a Niagara Bottling Company. They make bottled water and bottled water with vitamins and stuff like that. And they make all kinds of drinks. The only problem was they called me in the office, and this was in Pennsylvania, and I live in New York, and they said, we can't go further with your employment unless you get a legitimate address in Pennsylvania for tax purposes. And, you know, I said, hey, this is the first time it's been an issue because I've worked in New Jersey, I've worked in Connecticut, and I have worked in Pennsylvania before, and this is the first time I've ever heard of it. I've never had a problem.
Well, they that said, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you know. It's what they told you. And you either met the condition or you didn't. And you didn't meet the condition, I guess, right?
Yeah. So, I am wondering if I'm going to be rehired at Regeneron, and that's a company that I was working for. They make drugs that, you know, you inject in yourself, or you doctors inject in people for all kinds of situations. So I'm wondering if they're going to take me back and give me one more chance.
I don't see it, tell you that truth. I don't see it. But that doesn't mean they don't give up. Just keep trying. But when somebody says to you, like, there's a condition, you know, they do it for their own reasons, maybe. I don't know. Like they said, you have to have a legitimate address. They didn't say you have to move there. I just said you have to have an address there. That's when you say, okay, then that's the condition. I'll see what I can do. But anyway, my friend, I'll have to let you go. I wish you well. You're going to be okay, and especially your lovely lady. You know, God bless her. And but I see her dancing or doing exercises like dancing, and she's going to be in really good shape. Her spirits are going to pick up as well.
I'm hoping for that. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, you take care.
Nice to
talk to you again.
Hearing
we've been
you back on.
For a few, we've been talking to you for a few years now, Vince, so we wish you the best.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, it's nice to hear you back on air again.
Okay. Always been here. Okay, my friend.
All righty.
Okay.
Take care.
Take care, Vince. Where are we going next, Paul? We get a few callers in here. We have enough time to talk to everybody. Where are we going next?
Well, Douglas, we're going to stay in New York, and we're going to talk to Carmen, who's on the line. Hello, Carmen.
Hi.
Hi, Carmen.
Hi, how are you guys? I wanted to know, I'm going away for a week, and wanted to know if it's going to go well over there. I don't know. I've never been there myself, but is it going to be helpful for me? I'm
Where
just
are you
wondering.
Going?
I'm not
Where
going
are you?
Far. I'm going to Cape May in New Jersey.
Oh, that's like another state. That's like, oh my gosh, that's out of this world.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Sure. I'm like, okay, that's what this feels
like. Yeah. You're going to stay there for a week? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm going to come back next Saturday.
Okay, hopefully. Is that anywhere near Short Hills, New Jersey?
Not sure. Right near the beach, apparently.
Okay, the North Shore then or whatever. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I can see you having fun. Watch out for the big waves. They'll be nice and warm. I can see you like, oh, my God, I never felt the ocean was so warm like this. I can see you having fun, but there's going to be big waves, so watch you don't get pushed over, or you know that your feet don't go out from underneath you when you're standing in the. It looks like black earth or black sand, but yeah, you're going to have fun.
Okay, am I going to come back a little bit more rejuvenated? You think, or it's not a vacation; it's more like an intensive. But
I think you're going to say like change of venues, change of attitude. Yes, you're going to be. Like all of a sudden you're going to get this idea like, gee, I wouldn't mind traveling a little more. So, yes.
Okay.
Rejuvenated, yes. Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're going to change your hairstyle a little too.
Oh, why? You've
been thinking about it?
My hair's funny. My hair is another thing. I don't know if I can change much.
Well, yeah, there's something about your hair that I could see. It looks like you're going to change it or do something with it. So, okay.
Oh.
Let us know.
Okay.
You know, call us up and let us know that.
Next week.
Okay. Well, we wish you have fun, and we hope that everything comes your way, okay?
Oh, God, thank you very much. I hope so, too.
Well, God bless you, Carmen. You know,
thank you.
Do your best. Set your bar high, you know, like go for the gusto, as they say. okay? Have fun this weekend. Just let yourself, whatever it is, you say, I'm alive today. I might not be alive next month, next year, who knows? I'm alive today, and it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody knows. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're in charge. Remember that. Okay. Take care, Carmen. Pleasure talking with you.
Thank you. Yes,
well, guys, you're welcome. God bless you. Well, guys, we're just about the end of the show. Paul, any thoughts on hope? And we've talked to a lot of people tonight have given some stories about how they've managed to get by and they've had hope in their life.
Hope indeed, Douglas. I think there's plenty of hope to go around for everyone on the planet right now, and that's what we need. There are so many little things that we see here and there that indicate that changes are taking place, as you discussed earlier with the core of the Earth and how it's heating up and causing friction. So we have a big conference coming up next week. In fact, a week from tonight, we will start our Hope Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. And I'm looking forward to it.
Well, maybe we'll be broadcasting this show from Arizona. I don't know.
We might be, yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll let Doug be the host next week. Doug, you're the host of the Global Village Radio Show.
It'll
we'll let you line up your own guest.
Very, very short show. Hello, goodbye.
Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Okay.
Hello, hello, hello. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Oh. That
sounds like the Beatles to me.
It does too. It's all that training that Doug's had over the years being here, the co-host of the Global Village Radio show. So listen, everybody, we'll go to that commercial about hope one more time before we end the show, and we'll be right back after this.
Why should you join us in Phoenix, Arizona, May 26th through the 28th? Just listen to a couple of Hope Conference attendees.
Thank you, Douglas, for the conference, the Hope Conference. It was amazing. I learned so much. This Hope Conference really culminated in everything I needed to really hone in on, and I know what my life purpose is, and I really thank all of you, every one of you.
Hi, Douglas. I want to thank you for having this conference here. I learned a lot, especially about dreams. I definitely plan on taking your advice, writing down all my dreams. All your staff was very helpful, very friendly, and I'm looking forward to the next conference. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much.
During this impactful three-day conference, you'll be guided through a series of sessions including dream interpretation and future predictions, the great shift, the increasing sense of impending changes and human transformation, virtue spirit healing, the power of auras, chakras, and creating an open mind to your spiritual gifts, plus additional guest speakers and guided meditation. Go now to hopeconferences.org, that's hopeconferences.org, for your ticket and a don't miss event. And we'll see you in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Did you know that Dr. Douglas Cottrell has several other weekly channels where you can participate? Check out his Sunday International Spiritual Healing Service on Zoom, plus a Wednesday night Zoom community gathering. And you might also enjoy the Wake Up podcast exploring human consciousness, awareness, and intuition with Dr. Douglas and co-host Les Hubert. Just go to DouglasJamesCottrell.com and message us on the contact page to add your name to the Zoom links of your choice.
We understand people may have strong opinions that are different than our own. So join us and call in with questions and comments as we attempt to explore the unlimited human consciousness.
Welcome back to the Global Village with Dr. Douglas James Cottrell and co-host Doug Bentley. Now here's Dr. Douglas.
Welcome back, my friends. It's been a wonderful show. You know, here we are. You know, we're in conclusion. Everyone can endure anything if they have hope. It's not just a radio show that we put on. It's about a powerful reminder of the resilience and strength that resides within each of us. Throughout our journey together, we have explored inspiring stories, insightful discussions, and transformational insights, all centered around the profound impact of hope in our lives. We have learned that hope is not a passive wish or an idle optimism, but a dynamic force that empowers us to overcome adversity, embrace challenges, and create positive change. It is the fuel that ignites our spirits, fuels our dreams, and propels us forward on our paths of personal growth and fulfillment. Through the stories of the remarkable individuals we have witnessed firsthand tonight through this transformative power of hope, from the tales of triumph over seemingly insurmountable odds to the indomitable human spirit's ability to rise above challenges, each narrative has highlighted the unwavering strength found within us when we cultivate hope in our hearts. As we conclude this show, let us carry the essence of hope with us in our daily lives. Let us remember that no matter the circumstances we face, hope is the beacon that guides us through the darkest moments, illuminating our way towards a brighter future. May the lessons we have learned and the stories we have shared continue to inspire and uplift us. Let us always hold on to hope, nurturing it within ourselves and inspiring, or rather separating its light into those around us. By embracing hope, we tap into the true potential and become a catalyst for positive change in our lives and the world. Listen, I want to thank you all for joining on this transformational journey tonight. Remember, no matter what challenges lie ahead, everyone can endure anything when they have hope. On behalf of my good friend and co-host, Doug Bentley, and also my good friend and producer of the show tonight, Paul Hughes, we want to wish you all a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you in Arizona if you can make the trip. Go to hopeconferences.org and push the button and sign up. The conference is already deeply discounted. Normally it's about $300 to $400. We're selling it to you, giving it to you, if you will, at $250. And if you type in the promo code Douglas20, you'll get an extra 20% off. That takes it down to $200, my friends. You can't beat that price. Okay, we'll see you all in Arizona. Good night, guys. It's been a wonderful time here and a great show and wonderful guests calling in tonight. On behalf of Doug Bentley and Paul Hughes, we want to wish you everything that you possibly can hope for to come true. Good night and God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Global Village Online Radio Show with your host, Dr. Douglas James Cottrell, and co-host, Doug Bentley. Brought to you by MindPro Publications and Productions, a division of Douglas James Cottrell & Associates, Incorporated. Copyright 2023, Douglas James Cottrell. No part of this broadcast audio may be reproduced in whole or in part without expressed written permission.